my guest has been named as one of the most influential women in Dubai. She's a masterful networker and connector, and she spends many, many days on planes, traveling between the Middle East and the United States. She's a queen of personal branding and reputation building and has crafted communication strategies for luminary businessmen on both sides of the world, from Gary Vee to Naguib Sawiris and for major tech companies including Google, Netflix, and Kareem. Maha Abu-Al-Ainain is the personal branding expert, CEO and founder of global communications consulting firm Digital and Savvy. She is the best-selling author of 7 Rules of Self-Reliance. Let's meet Maha Abu-Al-Ainain, the woman, the legend. Maha, welcome.
Thank you.
It's so wonderful to have you in the studio.
I'm so grateful to be here.
As I am, happy to have you here. You know, I feel like I already know you from a long, long time. I've read your book, of course, fantastic book.
Thank you.
I've also listened and watched you in so many different podcasts. And what I found, what I really find so heartening and so wonderful is how everyone you sat down with, everybody that I've talked to who had read the book, they all said how much they identified with the story. They felt like it was their own story.
I know.
It's like, it's almost like you are all of these people and all of these people are you. It's almost like, you remember that film, Being John Malkovich?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's almost like the people that I talked to, they all wanted to be.
Oh no, that's so funny.
Maha Abu-Al-Ainain, welcome.
That's amazing. That is an intro. That is really, really amazing. That's so funny. So I love it.
Can I have two of you?
How
in my
creative
studio?
Is that? That looks better than my hair looks today. Thank you.
Thank you for coming back.
That's a really fun opening. It's so interesting you said that. Yesterday I did a workshop for 85 female executives here in Dubai. And many of them had read it, and they said, we felt like you were talking to us, or you were telling our story, or that we were reading it, and we could hear your voice as if you were our sister having a conversation with us over coffee. And I was so touched by that. But I think the reason why the story resonated is that even though it's about leadership and teaching people skills I think they need to have, what connects us are stories.
Sure.
What helps build a relationship between two people or two companies or to anybody is a story. And I find the storytelling of life and how we operate in the world and how we live and work and communicate with our friends and families and through social media or through podcasts, it's the story that stays with us. It's the emotional connection that it elicits within us. And I think that's what I enjoyed doing, and that's what I'm happy that came across.
So I want to talk to you about storytelling in a little while.
Yep.
And I want to ask you, how does one go about really start building their personal narrative? But let's take a step back first and talk about personal branding. What is personal branding, and when did it really become a cornerstone of career and influence?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting question. So a personal branding is the ability for you to market yourself, your person, as if you were a brand. And I see it in the context of reputation. So I feel like your personal brand is your reputation. It's made up of your skills, your experience, and your personality. Mm-hmm. You know, the very first personal brand that I remember seeing on the scene where I felt like the person was a bigger idea or identity than the company was Richard Branson.
Right. Yes.
Everybody knew who Richard Branson was, but they didn't really maybe know the name of his company. It was Virgin or Virgin Atlantic or Virgin Radio or the Virgin Enterprises, whatever the holding company name was. And he was an iconic figure that people were attracted to. He was different, and he was a character and storyteller and did creative announcements. And he was really an icon himself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the way the market is going, career mobility, AI, you know, being able to work in a hybrid working environment where you can get access to the internet to work from anywhere, the LinkedIn movement. I feel that a lot of people see the shift in trusting people over institutions.
Yeah.
And how people can, thanks to access to the internet, can broadcast themselves and do their own shows and be their own creator and create that direct-to-consumer kind of outreach, you know? People are just as powerful as institutions. Like BBC has access to tell stories and broadcast to the world. Well, you know what? If you have an internet connection and a phone, You can do the same thing with less bureaucracy.
Because people relate to people.
People follow people. They don't follow companies.
And people follow people. So you think that's... So Richard Branson was when? 80s?
Yeah, 80s.
Yeah, and that's when the tide shifted, do you think?
No, I think the tide shifted in the last, I would say, the last 5 to 7 years, where people understand that the influence of the institution telling you things is not as powerful as the direct-to-consumer. We see direct-to-consumer brands. You want to buy them directly from the company themselves on the internet without having to go through a retailer or going to a store. You can purchase everything online. So I think that movement was direct-to-consumer and how we purchase things. Then direct-to-consumer and how we consume things with a creator economy. And direct-to-consumer on supply chain. Like everything now is direct-to-consumer. And I think personal branding is just falling right in line with that.
But who is it for? Who is personal branding for? Is it for entrepreneurs?
It's for anyone with a job. It's for anyone who cares about the reputation.
Mm.
An entrepreneur obviously needs to, the founder, an investor invests in the founder, not necessarily the idea of the company. So you want to have a good personal brand so you can get the investment, so you can get the strategic partner, so you can retain the talent or to acquire the talent. So I feel like the entrepreneur piece is quite obvious. But I equally feel students, build your reputation when you're young, build your personal brand with your young, network with people, understand the value of your name and being good intentioned with people. Early adopters into your career, entry-level jobs. Are you a team player? Are you good at work? Are you somebody that people want to work with? You're never going to get a promotion if people don't have a good idea of your personal brand and reputation at work.
So do you think social media is a conduit or... would there not be a necessity for personal branding if there was no social media?
You need to build your reputation in real life.
Mm.
Social media can just amplify it for you. It's your digital resume. It's the way that you show up in the world online because we live online, right? Mm. You'd be, if you had such a good reputation, you knew a lot of people in person and you had a very strong personal brand in your real relationships, that's what matters tremendously. But if people come to look you up, what are they finding? I want you to find things that you put there, your profile, your content, your story, your message. And that's why people are focused on personal brand on the online side.
And on the online side, the measure is the number of clicks, the number of views, the number of likes, et cetera, et cetera. Is that the measure of success?
Not necessarily. Because you could have a lot of followers, but you don't have any influence. You could have a lot of followers, but people don't believe you. You can have a lot of followers, but people don't trust you. I think we live in a trust economy. We will put money behind brands we trust.
Mm.
We will put money behind CEOs who are good to their people. We'll put money behind companies that have a good reputation and have good ethics or are good to the environment. We're very conscious as consumers, and we want to be putting our money where we can trust it.
Because apparently there was this study that was conducted on young women in the UAE here.
Okay.
And a good portion of them, about, 85% thought that Instagram was the platform for personal branding.
LinkedIn is, in my opinion, where you go to build your personal brand. Personal branding is about thought leadership and idea promotion, not self-promotion. And LinkedIn is not a job searching tool. It's where business leaders, where your customers, where you can build your thought leadership and tell good stories.
You see, I worry about women on social media, and I worry about women thinking about building a personal brand on social media. You're absolutely right in saying it should be built in real life, and that should be just a resume, a reflection of what you're doing.
100%.
But there's already a lot of pressure on these women, especially young women, to go ahead and to behave in a certain way or to curate a life in a certain way. So I find
it's
that
hard.
Using social media to build a personal brand that serves you in life could actually derail you.
Yeah, I think the trouble with the way people use social media is this comparison game.
Mm.
We don't feel adequate because we feel we're not at the right stage of our lives, but you're measuring somebody's highlight reel and journey to yours, and that's completely unrealistic because you're in different phases and stages of your life. And most people are putting their highlight reel, their best stuff, on social media, not the real stuff. So I find that it's a tool for communicating who you are, for generating leads for your business, for marketing your companies and brands. But it's not the only thing that you should be doing. It's like, you don't network just by talking to one person. You have to talk to many people and build relationships over time. Mm. And I feel that that's a critical part of making the social media useful to your needs instead of the reverse, of following what everyone else is doing.
So let's talk about women leaders.
Yes.
There's still a big gap. We still don't have enough women leaders. And how can they use personal branding to bridge that gap?
I mean, first of all, I believe that women can use their voices and find their narrative to tell stories and connect with audiences. And I feel like if I can help women build their personal brands, a mother who just had, you know, a baby and wants to re-enter the workforce, how does she reposition herself to get back in? Somebody who's a leader in transition, they're in a corporate job and want to be an entrepreneur. This female wants to know the best way to rebuild her relationships in new industries. That you can do if you want to invest in building your personal brand. Thinking about a woman who is in a career and really wants to go to the next level in her career. Well, what does she need to do that? She needs to elevate who she is, communicate her values, build stronger networks and relationships. If you can be good at building your personal brand and make it strong, opportunities will come to you. People will know who you are because of the way you compose and hold yourself. Mm. Because of you have the skills of knowing how to tell stories, communicate. If you're good at building your personal brand, you have skills, communication skills, storytelling skills, networking skills. Those are transferable and translatable, and women can win if they do it.
So you mentioned the word relationships many times. And I'm always telling this, I'm telling my daughters, I have two girls, and I have had many girls, ladies, women go through the company in our history in the last 16 years, and I've told every single one of them that your relationships are your assets.
100%.
The most important asset in your life. So let's talk about relationships and how you build them. And first of all, there must be tiers to relationships.
Yes, 100%. So I actually talk about this in the book. I want people to think about building relationships as making a deposit in a trust bank. Hmm. How can you make multiple deposits in people's trust banks? And that means when you build a relationship, you're not asking for something. In fact, you're giving. How do you become a long-term player and not want a transaction of your relationship? So there's so many ways to build relationships. One, you can do one-to-many through LinkedIn or social media, commenting on people's posts, sharing their work, showing up for people, supporting them. You know, really showing up for people through social media doesn't take a lot of effort. It's low lift, and you can network one-to-many. Then I want you to be intentional about key relationships you have in your life that you want to invest in. Can you make them an introduction? Can you help solve a problem for them? Can you share an interesting article of something that they're interested in? How do you add value to your network? And so many people throughout my career that I've worked with, like, networking is not about getting tickets to a game or helping get a job for your son. Hmm. Your network is there for you to serve them, for you to help them, for you to invest in them, and for you to bring them value.
It's almost like you're living for other people, though. You need to have a relationship with yourself as well.
You shouldn't live for other people, but you should value your relationships as if they're, you know, prized possessions that are not transaction or transferable, right? Mm.
So what do you think are the components that are necessary for a relationship?
One is be a good listener. Mm-hmm. Build a relationship based on listening to what they care about and really investing in them, showing up for them. I think that's key to building a good relationship. Staying in touch with your contacts is not just checking in, but it's actually being meaningful and intentional about how you build your relationship with them. I talk a lot about the power of being a super connector. Hmm. Can I introduce A to B and create value for both parties? That's really important in building a relationship. And then showing up for them when the good times and the bad times, not just the good times.
You remind me once I was early on in my career, and this woman, she was my boss, actually. We later became very, very good friends after she fired me. And I remember there was a fire in her flat, and she got very, very sick.
Oh, no.
So the only thing that I could think of that I could do for her was make her a soup. And I lived halfway across the city, all the way across the city, and I made the soup and I brought it to her. And the relationship
Built from there.
Built from yeah. there.
I mean, that's a testament to that the small things become the big things.
Yeah.
It's showing up for people when they need it most. Small gesture, soup, means the world. It shows you care, you're comforting her, you're being kind, you're showing empathy.
Empathy.
That
empathy.
Really
you're
matters.
Thinking, you're thinking
You're thinking
them.
About them. That really, really matters.
Yeah. But when you're young,
yeah,
you may not have that confidence. You may feel sometimes that you're imposing on people, that you want to stay within boundaries that you may have drawn for yourself that are limiting you as opposed to opening things up for you.
I mean, I think one of the things about building relationships with people is a two-way street, right? You can't force yourself to be networking with someone who doesn't have time or isn't interested. So that listening part and being a good barometer on what do they care about, when's the best time to approach them, how much time are you asking for them? You know, a lot of people want to ask their network to mentor them or to support them, but like they're asking for too much. Have a low level ask, you know, ask for a few minutes, but be specific about what you need.
Another regret of mine is in my lifetime, I've met so many interesting people and I've started relationships with all of them or I got introduced to them, but I never took that to the next level of a relationship.
Yeah.
So in your book, you actually say follow up and follow through.
Yeah, the key is follow up and follow through. So you, like I was saying yesterday in this training I did, 80% of the connections you meet forget you after 48 hours.
Hmm.
The key is follow up and follow through. Let's say you go to an event, you network, you exchange cards or QR codes or contacts with somebody else. You have to follow up and then you have to follow through. If you commit to doing something or sending them something, follow up, but then follow through by executing on it. Your network and how you treat your relationships is only as good as how you deliver for them and how you can be who you say you are or how you can execute based on the promises that you've made because that's your reputation.
And how much self-confidence is needed to go up to somebody who's just come off a stage, this global CEO of I don't know what, just came off the stage and you have this 10 seconds with him. It's even worse than an elevator pitch, isn't
yes.
it? And yet you need to find everything within you to bring up everything that you have, put it in a sentence, to leave an impression with them, to manage to get a contact off of them. And then further confidence, you need more confidence, again, to follow up later on.
I mean, here's the thing. If you have, it does take a lot of confidence to do it, but I think a lot of times we're just overthinking it. And I always say just if you wait until you get the confidence, you'll never do it. But if you take the action and you repeat it, that's when you get the confidence. So to go up to someone, a CEO of a high-level stature that you're not sure how you're going to approach them or what you're going to say, I think if you can spend time studying them, listening to what they care about, really understanding who the person is that you're approaching, don't go in cold, do some homework, follow them on social media, see what they care about. So when you approach them, you really know something that you can share in common to open that conversation or dialogue, and then they'll know that you put in effort, that you have good intentions behind it. That's made the difference for me.
Yeah.
If I'm going to meet you, I'm going to go to your social media. I'm going to study what you've been posting about. I'm going to look into your pages to see what you care about. I'm going to try to find something that I can bring a value that I can talk about that I know you've shared publicly is important to you.
And that's why you need to use social media to showcase your personal
100%.
Brand and not for it to be your personal brand. Right?
Yeah, it's your personal brand is not what you do online. Like my goal in helping people build their personal brands is not to create social media influencers. Mm. This isn't about self-promotion. It's about idea promotion. It's about thought leadership. And there's a huge difference between trying to create an influencer or a social media star and having your reputation represent who you are online. Everybody meets somebody and goes and Googles them or looks up them on LinkedIn or looks them up on Instagram. Who do you know? What have you done? What's your digital resume say about you? And if you aren't visible, you are invisible. And let me tell you something, silence doesn't scale.
No.
If you are not saying anything, I can guarantee you there's 100 people that are. And they're going to get the attention. They're going to get the opportunities. They're going to get the promotions. They're going to get the relationships. They're going to get the freedom. They're going to get the money.
But it's so time-consuming, Maha.
It's not. It's not time-consuming if you do it authentically from your heart. And you need to do what's appropriate for you. I'm not talking about time-consuming in terms of posting on social media all the time to build your brand. I'm talking about giving value to your audience. Your personal brand isn't about you. It's about your audience. What are you doing to educate them or inspire them or whatever it is your goal is? If you think it's about you, then you are an influencer, and that's not what I'm trying to do.
100%. I agree with you. But so, solve this riddle for me, will you?
Yes.
So I spend ages, I put in a lot of heart and hard work into the amazing interview. And then I post something, a fantastic clip out of that interview, because it's going to give someone
value.
And it gets engagement from my audience. But then I post a picture of my cat and woo, the engagement goes through the roof.
Yeah, it's crazy. My personal brand talks about on social media a lot about communications and storytelling and personal branding and networking and media and all that stuff. And I was in Egypt the other day and they asked me to do this fun video to this Arabic song.
Okay.
And I did it. I was like, I don't overthink it. I don't say, oh, I don't care. It's a very lighthearted and cute video to this song. And I did it. It's a fit check, basically looking at my outfit in the museum, Egyptian Grand Egyptian Museum. I got more views and comments on that than any of my educational content. I know. But that's also too how people consume the internet. Like they want variety. They want to be educated, but they also want fun.
But there's also value in that, isn't there, to your personal brand?
Yeah, that I'm showing my whole personality, that I'm not just all business, that I travel, that I play tennis, that I have a dog, that I, you know, travel the world or do whatever or make fun videos with Arabic songs. Like, you have to show your personality because we're not robots, we're humans, right? We want to show, we want to connect with people. And that video allowed me to connect with so many people. They're like, everyone's like, we didn't know how Egyptian she was until she did that. And then we were convinced.
Cute. So just going back very quickly to networking and building relationships.
Yeah.
Tell me about, surely not every approach that you've had or you've done was successful. Tell me about the ones that flopped.
Yeah, I think if you aren't intentional and authentic about what you're doing, there's no good amount of personal branding or PR that will help you. You have to be consistent online and offline. Because when people are so disappointed when they meet someone that they've been following on social media and they're not the person they thought they were.
Yeah.
They're not as nice or as kind or as fun or as generous or giving or articulate. Nobody wants that. We live in a world where we become so spoiled with the level of transparency that we have access to.
Yeah. No, but when you're in a at a conference and you just saw this person that you wanted to go, you wanted to meet, you went, met them, did your 20-second chat. And then followed up.
And follow through.
But nothing came. Nothing came.
Yeah,
from
people are busy. You don't take it personally.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You really have to be mindful about, was your approach the wrong time? Was it something you said that it wasn't like maybe the most compelling way to go about it? And I always look and like, how could I have done that better?
Mm.
How could I have done a better job at that building that relationship? Maybe it was bad timing on their side and nothing to do with me. You never know.
It's very important not to take it personally.
Yeah, don't take it personally.
So do you think we all have, you obviously have it, and it's wonderful to see and watch through your work, this go-getter instinct. You think we all have it?
I think,
is it something that you can grow, that you can nurture?
I think you have to be a curious person. You have to be curious about the world around you to want to go get other opportunities or learn new things or try new things or understand things or unlock potential. So I think either you're a curious person or you're not.
Hmm.
And so I'm inherently a curious person. Like, I want to know how things work. I love the abundance of information at my fingertips. I have access to learn anything, anywhere, anytime from anyone just by getting online.
Mm.
We've never lived in a better time to be alive. I really believe that. We imagine if we had access to Steve Jobs' daily routine like we do LeBron James. Imagine. That gentleman changed the world forever with the advent of the iPhone. Imagine, like, he's like our Isaac Newton, you know, he's like of our generation, of like somebody who really invented something that changed the way everybody lives forever and it'll never go back.
So Steve Jobs was born in this part of the world, in Syria, but he grew up in the United States, and he has that drive, and he has that go-getter
ambition,
instinct and ambition. You have that too. Do you think your life would have been different had you not grown up in the United States?
I'm a product of my parents. My father was an educator, and he told me and my sister, like, you can be anything you could want to be in the world if you get a good education. And it was the foundation for our upbringing and everything that he was like. He always told us, and he told me specifically, I remember this conversation, no one can ever take away what's between your two ears. People can take away your dignity. They can take away opportunities. They can take away, think they can take away your success or things that are happening to you. But if you're smart and educated and you've invested in this, no one can remove that from your brain. And so he taught us that, he instilled in us the power of knowledge and acquiring it at every stage and every age of your life.
I agree with you on many things that I've heard you speak on and many things that are in your book. I agree with you that success is two parts, or at least begins with two things: creating the opportunity for yourself and then trusting yourself with that opportunity. And after that comes hard work. Now, what I want to know from you, and you talk a lot about hard work, and hard work is about, you're all about hard work, right? Do you think that everything and anything can be achieved through hard work?
No, I mean, obviously you need to have built the right relationships. You have to have a little bit of luck. You have to have good timing. No, of course.
You answered my next question.
Yeah, I think, I believe in Rabbana has a lot to do with it as well, that God will open doors for you if it's meant for you. Hmm. I believe that.
But but also in our culture, we do believe that you do what you need to do. You do your bit.
And he'll deal with the rest.
God will help you with the rest of it. So luck, what's your view on luck? Do we make, some people think we make our own luck through hard work.
I don't think you can make your own luck, but I think you can put yourself in a good opportunity to win. You can put yourself in position. You can put in the effort, do the hard work, build the relationships, be good to people, have good intentions, build a strong reputation, understand the importance of building relationships. If you do all of those things and you work hard, it will pay off.
So it's partly what you're born with and partly what you do with it.
Yeah, 100%. Right? 100%.
For success, and how important is it that you know what you are capable of and therefore what to pursue, but more importantly, what not to pursue?
Actually, so many times in my life, and I talk about it quite a bit in the book, I didn't know what I was capable of. Sometimes you don't know what you're capable of until somebody asks you to do it. Time and time again, I got asked to do things in my life that I'm like, I don't do that. I've never done that before. But how do you know if you've never been asked? You don't know what you're capable of. And now you have access to resources to do research or find things out that we didn't have before. So I don't think it's just based on that.
So another differentiator, I think, between people is their level of energy.
Energy.
And I love your energy, Maha.
Thank you.
You can feel it in this room at this moment. Where do you get your energy?
I think I'm just I'm driven to, I'm curious about the world around me. And that's kind of energy I always bring to the table. Positive energy wins.
Yes, energy to get out of bed every day.
Yeah.
The energy to jump off
I'm excited about
a
lot of things.
Conference and
I will do that time and time again. I'm excited about a lot of stuff happening in the world around me. So we only get one life. Am I going to use my energy and be negative and be upset about things and let things bother me? I used to, when I was very young, I used to small things would become big things for me and agitate me. But now I'm first of all, I have an enormous amount of abundance of gratitude. And I'm I have good energy because I want to be around positive people and I want people to want to be around me because I'm positive energy. I think that reciprocates tremendously.
You said you used to.
Yeah.
So what happened to change that?
You just get older. You just realize you're sweating the small stuff and none of that stuff matters.
So how do you protect your energy?
First of all, I get good sleep. Second of all, I put myself in the right rooms with the right people. Who you surround yourself with matters tremendously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about taking my foot off the pedal. if I take my foot off, if I stop pushing, I feel I'm going to roll backwards. What keeps you going forward?
That's a really good question. I just want to know what's next. Mm-hmm. What can I do next? How can I uncover something else about myself I didn't know? How can I learn something new? How can I invest in myself in new ways? How can I be a part of the AI movement? How can I help people understand the Middle East better and do business here? How can I grow upwards, downwards, and sideways? Like, it's just, it's the thing that keeps me young and alive.
Do you get, I'm not being negative, I just want to know.
Yeah.
Do you get down days?
Of course. Down days, bad days, all the time. But you always have to put it in perspective and don't dwell. Like, don't let it linger too long.
How do you get yourself out of a funk?
usually I just work out or go play tennis, hit the tennis ball.
Mm-hmm. And that brings you back.
I think just going for a walk. Even going for a walk resets you.
Yeah. Because you also mentioned in the book, and this is something that I've always always stayed with, a story that stayed with me about how people used to boast about not sleeping 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, they were like, I can get by with 4 hours of sleep.
Yes.
Now we don't do that. Like, they discovered that some of the most prominent presidents and politicians, Margaret Thatcher, you know, Ronald Reagan, a lot of big politicians used to say, I can get by on 3 or 4 hours of sleep and be productive and I'm crushing it. And it was something they were very proud of. And now we know that that leads to Alzheimer's and that not getting enough sleep can kill not just your energy and your mood, but can shorten your life. And so sleep is a game changer. I see you have the Whoop on. So I'm like, oh,
yep.
She knows how to keep track of her sleep and her recovery.
I used to say when I was younger and I was really pushing hard with my career, I still am, thankfully. But back in the day, I used to say, I will sleep when I die. Because... Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher taught us that, didn't they?
Yeah.
I remember I interviewed Hillary Clinton many years ago, back when she was Secretary of State.
Oh, wow.
It was a very short interview in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. And I asked her, how do you manage your schedule? When do you eat? When do you sleep? And she said, I only ever eat in the car.
Oh, really? I'm sure, because she's always on the move. That's all she can afford to do.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's not very healthy either. Like, you need to sit down and be present, enjoy your food.
Yeah. I think I think what we are adopting as daily habits now, as far as nutrition and sleep are concerned, are feeding into our, of course, into our energy and our ability to pursue those dreams.
Yeah, I mean, we are going to live longer than we have ever lived as human beings. Mm-hmm. AI is helping us understand medicine, making breakthroughs in science. We know more about nutrition, sleeping, fasting, cold plunging than we ever did before.
Have you tried them all?
All of them.
Have you?
Yeah, because I want to take advantage of what science has to offer. Like, I really want to understand how you can live longer, live better, live, you know, more pain-free. Like, all those things matter.
My doctor taught me a very, very nice saying, and I use it all the time now. She says to me, we all want to die young, as late as possible.
As late as possible. It's true.
Yeah.
Because you want to be able to function and move, not just to live old, but you want to be functioning and moving in a well-mannered way. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to be young when the time comes. Let's talk a little bit about the book.
Okay.
Yeah. So you launched this back in when?
October.
And mashallah, it's a bestseller.
Yes. Thank you.
Not least because of the effort the energy that you put behind talking about it. Why did you write the book to start with?
Yeah, I mean, the reason I wrote the book is, first of all, I love books. I'm a book lover. I'm a book reader. In a digital world, books matter still. And people like to take books and underline books and tab books and dog ear books. And I really wanted to tell the story, not about what I did, but how I did it. Mm. You know, how do you create value for other people? How do you become a long-term player and build the right relationships? How do you invest in yourself? How do you unlearn, relearn? How do you build new relationships and networks? And I feel like this is the modern playbook where people need to know how to do today. Mm. And no one's talking about it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Self-help books have caught on with people, and they're a lot more abundant, if you like, these days. So in your own words, what makes this book different?
I think a couple of things. One, it's got real practical... rules and exercise you can put to work. Like it's quite practical. And a lot of people told me that as well. And secondly, it's the stories. Like everyone who reads this in the Middle East is going to resonate. I talk about my days at Karim here in Dubai. I talk about working in Egypt. I talk about working in Sheikh Mohammed's office, His Highness's Sheikh Mohammed's office. So the stories that they'll hear and they'll read are ones that they will recognize right away.
Yeah. I'm going to do this again. So tell me, so who is the book for, Maha?
The book is for anyone with ambition. We have really written this book to obviously help entrepreneurs, but help leaders in transition, help students, help anybody who I spoke yesterday at LinkedIn. A lot of those executives were really interested in the book. So middle managers, people who want to go to the next level, people who want to have the right skills you need in today's world, period. Any age.
Again, you asked this question, younger ones.
Yes.
How can we get the younger ones?
I think it's important that you don't walk around the world oblivious to how your reputation will carry you forward and how you conduct yourself. And I feel like if we can tell the younger generation, protect your reputation like a currency, like it's money, that it's valuable and it's worth something, that they will invest in it. That's the key.
Yeah, and the fact that they are in control of what happens next in their life. They could be in control.
So many people say, I have a reputation, I just can't do anything about it. I'm like, you're 100% wrong. You drive it, you control it, you can build it, you can shape it, you can improve it, you can grow it, you can invest in it.
And just a thought now, a lot of the young people are on social media. A lot of people are on social media just for their circle of friends because they value privacy. While there's a group that likes to be out there, a lot of them want their privacy.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, if you want to build your personal brand, it doesn't mean your personal life at all.
Explain that.
Well, you don't need to share everything that you don't want to share. You don't want to share your vacations or your family photos. Don't. You control the narrative. You control what you share, how you share it, how much you share with who you share with. And so a lot of people think when they hear the word personal brand, they think it means, oh, just share your whole personal life on social media. That's not what we're talking about at all.
Another thing that really resonated with me that you had mentioned in the book was about your relationship with failure.
Yes.
And that confidence comes from taking action.
Yes.
And I loved what you said, and I'm going to read it word for word. We don't take action because we don't want to fail, but because we don't think we have time to recover or to lose money or to embarrass ourselves in front of others. So this relationship with failure, that presumably is also built and mastered, if you like, through repetition. So we'll need to fail a few times.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a society, we think failure is bad. Failure is a part of success. It's not the opposite of success. Because if you fail, there's lessons in that. You learn what to do, what not to do. You learn who to trust, who not to trust. You learn what you could have done better. And so it's not the opposite of success. It's part of success. And I think we've been taught, like, don't fail, don't fail, don't fail. You know, there's a lot of value in failing. Obviously, we don't want people to fail. But I'm saying if you do, that's not a black mark on you. It's just like you need to pivot, readjust, and relearn and go back in.
Is there a time to when failure teaches you this is not for you? They say it takes a bigger person to say this isn't for me than somebody who's going to keep doing the same thing and getting the same result.
I think it's hard because we live in social media that everyone can see what you're doing. So if you want to change your mind or retract your decision, it's hard to do when everyone's watching. Mm. It's like doing maintenance on a car while it's driving down the highway. Mm. It's kind of hard. And so that's why I think that's difficult.
And success and failure should not be an individual effort.
So no, I think they're kind of hand in step, lock in step.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I meant to get to success, you can get there on your own or you can get there with
other
a group
people. Yeah.
Of other people who complement your skills and your.
Yeah, I feel it's really key that like you learn to work with other people. You can accomplish a lot more when you have people next to you. Mm. Supportive, encouraging, an environment for learning and growth. All of those things matter.
A couple of years ago, a group of We got together, four women got together as a group. We call it a mastermind group. Don't ask me why. One of us decided it was called a mastermind group. And we weren't good friends as such. We weren't the closest of friends. But we sort of picked each other to support each other without
accountability.
Judgment. Yeah.
Accountability.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a friend group. We call it Mastermind 2025.
There you go.
I saw them this morning for breakfast. We do this to hold each other accountable. You want people, it's because I call it a personal board of directors. You want people in your circle who trust you, who you trust, who are willing to give you tough love, who are willing to support you and give you advice. But you have to have accountability, I think, in a world where you can try to do anything you want to do, but if no one's keeping you accountable, you might not push yourself a little bit more to do that.
I love that, and I love my group. You know, accountability is key. Absolutely is the first thing why I love it. The second thing, it taught me something that I never used to do before. I used to think I was self-reliant 100%, okay. And therefore I never asked for help from anyone until I learned from this group that it's okay. It's okay to ask for help. I'm not going to be judged.
It's not weak. First of all, self-reliance is not about not needing help from anybody. Self-reliance, as I talk about in my book and my definition, is let me rely on myself to be the best version of me before extending my hand to ask for help. Can I invest in myself and learn something on the internet? Yes. Can I invest in myself to build my own relationships so I don't have to say, Siba, can I have your relationships? Yes. Can I invest in myself to add value to somebody else? Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Self-reliance is not you being the expert, don't need anybody, know everything. It's start with yourself first and then see where you can bring value to others.
As you bring value to others, should you expect others to bring value to you?
No, because everybody operates in a different playbook. They have a different operating manual than you do. You should do things because it's the right thing for you. You have good intentions. You know in your heart why you're doing something. Not everyone's going to be on the same path.
No, but you will need people to add value to you.
Of course. But I feel like you can't force people to do the same thing.
So it's, again, going back to what you said earlier, it's who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, definitely. Very important of the circle of people on your business side and personally that are part of your life.
Also in the book, you talk about unlearning.
Yeah, because I think times have changed and we need to unlearn things that are no longer serving us. And I give a very simple example that, you know, where we went to school, Siba, determined who we were going to become. We need to unlearn that thinking that when you come to hire talent for a company or a job, I want to look at other skills, adaptability, empathy, leadership, team player, collaborator. What are the skills that you have that are going to be important to my company and my culture? Not necessarily what's your degree, where'd you go to school, what's your address? That used to be the unlearning. We have to unlearn the way that we think about people's CVs when we read them.
And maybe we need some of us will need to unlearn that about ourselves.
Yeah, of course.
So I went to this school, or I have that background.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to take my trajectory is going to go in a different direction. So I need to unlearn things about myself.
Yeah, I think sometimes we, you know, our hardest critics is us. No one's judging you as much as you're judging yourself. And learning how to deal with that so that you can unlearn things that are no longer serving you and relearn new things that can benefit you going forward.
And all this, like we said, just going back to the beginning, your personal brand, adding value to others, bringing value to others. At the end of the day, what is that and how is that assigned? Let me tell you, I was, last week, I sat down with a very prominent businessman, one of the biggest art collectors in the world, and
oh, wow.
I asked him about the value of a work of art. And I said, what gives a work of art its value? And he said, I'll tell you, the value of a work of art is how much someone is willing to pull out of their pocket and pay for it. So would you say that a person's brand is what the audience assigns them? I would say it is what the audience assigns them, but it depends on what they're banking,
Yeah, I think you can't ever interpret what the audience understands. You just have to do a good job of telling your story and saying it consistently. 10 people might hear the same story a different way. You can't control that. You can only control you. You can only control your actions. You can only control your narrative. You can only control how you tell the story, when you tell the story, what facts do you bring to the story, what emotions do you bring to the story. I don't think it has anything to do with the audience accepting or not accepting. No. I think you need to do a good job of telling it and then let them interpret they take based on their career, their experience, their insights, their learning. Everyone's on different journeys that's receiving that.
But you have to be very true to yourself.
Yeah,
right? And very, very true about what is going on in your life, because some people may get delusional, about what they're doing and what they're achieving, and the audience is perceiving them in a different way or receiving them in a different way.
Yeah, I think, and audiences have choices. Mm. They can follow and click or watch what they care about. Keep that in mind. The audience has an abundance of choices across many platforms, across many content outlets that are out there. And so if your story isn't strong or consistent or on message, they'll just switch to another story.
What are the pitfalls that plague personal branding attempts, do you think?
I think a lot of people think of the vanity metrics of the number of followers, that if you have a lot of followers, that's how you can build your personal brand. I think that's a big pitfall. I think there's a lot of misconceptions that a personal brand is for a celebrity or entrepreneur, but it's not. It's for everyday people. I think there's misconceptions that your personal brand will automatically bring you more money immediately. It won't. It takes time. Just like anything, you need to ramp up and build an audience and build a community and bring them value and have a good reputation and execute against what you do. Then you'll get those benefits. It's like a stacked kind of game. So I think those are some of the big ones I can think of off the top of my head.
So Maha, how will I know that I'm succeeding? How will I know that I'm making it in life?
Are you making a difference for other people? That's how you'll know. Is what you are saying and doing helping others? Then you'll know.
How will I know that I am in demand as a communication?
There's many consultant. Ways to measure that, like looking at inbound leads to your website, emails, phone calls, messages, the growth of your platform, inquiries, that type of thing. All of those things matter. But I think for you to have scale and impact in the world today, you just have to be really good at storytelling.
Maybe I should ask that in a different way. How will I know that whatever I'm putting out, the value that I think I'm putting out, the product or the service that I'm is actually adding value to people?
Well, the beautiful thing about communicating with people is they will tell you what they think, whether you want their opinion or not. So I think one way is you can just ask them and get their feedback. That's an easy way to know, is ask your audience, what do you think, in person or online? And I think the other way you know if your personal brand is strong is your business growing? That's why you're doing it, is you're doing it for a purpose, to build your business, to build, you know, generate more apps, downloads for your app. Like, you need to think about why you're doing it. What's your why? Are you doing it to build your business? Are you doing it because of your ego? Are you doing it to monetize, to get brand partnerships? All of those are things you can measure to see if your personal brand is actually reaping benefits for you.
I always love this definition of success from Warren Buffett. If the people that you if the people you care about truly love you, that's when you know that you are successful.
He's the guy. He's the goat of business. I trust anything he says.
No, I agree. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Siba, thank you so much for having me.
I really
it's such a pleasure. I loved it. And I'm really grateful to be here. And I'm a huge fan of the show. And that was really funny. That was so cool. I loved it.
being Maha Abulaneen.
That was fun.
What's next for you?
Just continue to talk to companies and people about the book. I do a lot of coaching for people through my website. They can reach out and just help people tell stories, help people build their brands. It'll make a big difference for them. Mm. And the time to start was yesterday.
Is there a finish line for you?
Bila hadud.
Bila hadud. Wbila nadam.
Bila nadam. No regrets and no boundaries.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Siba.
Thank you, Maha.
Thank you.